Chapter 3. Draco Malfoy and the Path of Friendship. Year 3.
Master Draco has been summoned.
Draco looked to Elpsy, wishing the sting of Dobby's absence didn't hurt. My father? Elpsy nodded once before leaving immediately. Draco looked to the ceiling as he tried not to wonder what his friend was up to. Had Dobby found a new job? Did his new family care for him as much as Draco did? Were they taking care of him? Draco forced himself to get up and leave his pain behind as he allowed an emptiness to settle inside of him. It would be necessary to talk to his father. As Draco entered his father's study, he tried not to fidget when cold eyes regarded him intently. He looked around and wasn't surprised to see his mother standing near the only window. She was a silent observer and never spoke up when it got rough.
I've received your grades.
The tone had Draco confused. His grades were fine, great even.
It's not good enough.
Of course not. Draco closed his eyes. Nothing was ever good enough.
Some of your scores have you as the highest in the class, as it should be, but others have you coming in second to the mudblood.
Draco clenched his fingers as he bit his tongue to stop the reprimand he wanted to give.
That is not acceptable. No son of mine is going to be second-rate in comparison to someone like that.
My scores are really good, Draco whispered, eyes trained on the ground. I think that...
I didn't ask what you thought. I could care less about what you think.
The sound of a hand slamming against the desk had Draco flinching. I'm sorry, Draco was cut off by another slam.
I didn't ask you to speak, Draco.
Just listen.
Why is that such a hard concept? Just do as you are told.
Draco nodded, hating that he couldn't look to his father. Didn't want to see the hatred that was there.
You will do better. I will be getting reports during your upcoming year, and if there isn't an improvement, then we will have another discussion. Only one not as pleasant as this.
Pleasant? What a joke. Draco nodded, knowing that if he said anything, his father wouldn't react well.
Well, what do you have to say? You speak when I talk to you.
Draco glared at the ground before he schooled his features into a blank mask as he looked up at his father. It was a trap, and he knew it. There was no right answer when it came to his father. If he spoke up, he would be going against the earlier order. But if he didn't reply, then he would be in trouble either way. Yes, father, I'll be better. When his father stood up, Draco closed his eyes, not wanting to see the satisfaction in his eyes as he advanced. Draco walked the streets of Diagon Alley, not really paying any attention to anything in particular, just grateful for the opportunity to shop alone. He had half a mind to retire early and return to the manor, but his father was home for the day. And that wasn't something Draco wanted to subject himself to. It wasn't until Draco caught sight of a familiar mop of messy hair that he knew his day would get interesting.
Fancy seeing you actually doing homework, Draco remarked,
as Potter jumped in his seat and shot him a weak glare. He looked around, curious as to why Potter was doing work outside of an ice cream parlour, but to each his own.
I will have you know that I do all of my homework.
When Draco arched a brow, grateful that his practice had paid off and it worked, Potter shrugged sheepishly.
All right, sometimes Hermione helps. Now that I can believe.
Potter searched Draco's face and it had him wary. How are you?
Fine,
Draco replied curtly, not wanting to talk about Dobby, and that face of concern could only lead in one direction. Potter sighed, clearly not believing him. All right, if you say so. Draco cleared his throat before changing the subject.
I should be asking you how you are. I hear you blow up relatives in your spare time.
I wish, Potter mumbled darkly. There was a story there. Draco knew it. There was no love lost, that's for sure. Was that why Potter spent so much time with the Weasleys?
Do your relatives? Are they...
Draco was cut off by a raised hand. In any case, I didn't get in trouble. Draco didn't care for being cut off, but could recognise that Potter didn't want to talk about it. Potter had been understanding earlier, so he chose to return the favour in kind. Of course you didn't. You are St. Potter, after all. Potter's lips quirked slightly. It's been a while since I've heard that. Are you getting sentimental? You daft idiot. Well, not anymore, you prick. Draco couldn't help but laugh. Sometimes it felt like all he had going for him was baiting Potter. How pathetic. I do have to admit that I was surprised there was no public censure, Draco mused, pushing all thoughts of comfort at their camaraderie away. The Ministry was waiting for me here, Potter began as he looked down to his homework and started flipping through the pages. Draco frowned, eyes narrowing at the statement. That doesn't make sense. I thought that too, said Potter, half immersed in a charms essay. But then he started talking about Black, and it made even less sense. Draco's breath left him in a whoosh. Black? As in Sirius Black? Potter looked up, eyes already narrowed on Draco's face. Said he escaped Azkaban. That Draco had already known. But for the Minister to talk to Potter about it didn't make sense. Something was going on, and Draco didn't like it. Do you know much about Black? Potter asked, suspicion in his tone. He's my cousin, sort of, on my mother's side. Potter blinked rapidly, a sight that had a small smirk forming on Draco's lips. They say he's a murderer, Potter whispered as his eyes looked around the area. I've got it on good authority that he's not. Potter leaned back and let out a low whistle. What authority? Draco shrugged, not wanting to show his hand early. Besides, it wasn't as if Severus' opinion would hold that much weight. Facts and opinions were two separate things. Perhaps you should look into it yourself, Draco offered. Knowledge carries more truth than word of mouth. Before Potter could respond, a loud shout could be heard. Harry! Harry! They both turned to see Granger and Weasley making their way to the shop. Draco stood up, trying not to be disappointed. I best be going, Draco said, closing his cloak tighter around him. It was nice talking to you, Potter. Can't exactly say the same, Malfoy. It was said with a teasing smirk. Something Draco wasn't sure what to do with. Now who's the prick? Draco questioned before walking away, the sound of Potter's laughter trailing after him. Interesting day indeed. Draco wasn't sure what to expect for his first Care of Magical Creatures lesson, but what he got wasn't it. Hagrid had never exactly had his confidence, but he was open to trying. Mostly. Hippogriffs. That was advanced for third years, at least for a first lesson. He bowed to the hippogriff, not wanting to subject himself to any harm. But Draco hadn't counted on his mutterings and sarcasm to be his downfall. This is bloody stupid, Draco whispered. Hand raised to warily pat the hippogriff's head. I'm sure you're nice, you don't really look it, but looks can be deceiving. The narrowing of the hippogriff's eyes should have been warning enough, but Dobby always did tell Draco he could be stupid at times. Potter managed to charm you. Not that that is surprising. He seems the type to be able to charm a bow truck off a tree too. Merlin, that must make you easily susceptible. Although if that's the case, what does that say about me? Part of Draco realised that he must need human interaction more if he was really talking to the hippogriff. I suppose it's not really your fault. Even the smartest of beings aren't infallible. Personally, I think you need to buck up, because trusting just anyone can get you in trouble. Being gullible isn't a good thing, you know. What was your name again? Probably something outlandish, really. And I think that... Draco took a step back when the hippogriff swiped a warning paw at him. If he had sidestepped a fraction of a second sooner, it wouldn't have hit him, but it wasn't anything but a deep scratch. Fuck! Draco swore louder than intended as the blood swirled to droplets. Hagrid had the hippogriff by the collar before Draco could even wipe the blood away. The action had the creature trying to get free as it made a startled noise. Someone help me! Hagrid called over his shoulder. Gotta get him out of here! Before Draco could decline, he was picked up by large hands.
Oi! I can walk, you know.
The sound of his classmates talking at once had Draco sighing as Hagrid carried him to the hospital wing. Talk about embarrassing.
He doesn't need to know,
Draco said to Madame Pomfrey, eyes pleading as he tried not to fidget on the hospital wing bed.
Mr. Malfoy.
Pomfrey started with a sigh. The school rules require any hospital visit wings to be notified back to the parents.
I am sorry, but your father does need to be notified.
Draco closed his eyes, hating the rules.
How come Potter could break every single bloody school rule, but he couldn't bend just one?
Not to worry, dear. I'm sure your father would be pleased to hear you're all right.
Yeah,
Draco agreed for show, voice hollow.
He'll be pleased.
Pleased to make a spectacle. Pleased to overreact. Pleased to blame everyone but Draco. Pleased to be an ass.
Pleased.
Right. If there was one thing Lucius Malfoy wasn't, that would be pleased. Draco wasn't sure it was in his vocabulary. He slumped against the bed as he wished for just a moment he could spend time and just exist without worrying about anything. Maybe the hippogriff should have just put him out of his misery. It certainly would have made things easier for everyone. Draco stared at the wardrobe passively as he tried to stop the horror from mounting. There wasn't a chance in hell he was getting in front of that. The other students were running around in excitement, laughing over their peers' fears as if that was fun. He shook his head when Goyle lifted a hand to push someone out of line for Draco. When both Crabbe and Goyle frowned, Draco made his way to the end of the line and allowed others to go before him. When Weasley's fear turned out to be spiders, Draco wished he wasn't envious. Arachnophobia was common, something a substantial portion of society also had. That was a safe fear, a fear that didn't need an explanation and wouldn't draw attention to anything. He watched every new fear with growing self-hatred. Why couldn't Draco be like that? Why couldn't he too have a normal fear? As Longbottom came to stand near the end, giving room to all those who still needed to go, Draco bit his lip in indecision.
Longbottom?
Draco waited until suspicious eyes regarded him warily before he whispered. Was it hard dispelling a person? Not an animal, creature, or nightmare, but one that took on the form of a real person? One you know? Longbottom narrowed his eyes, and Draco hoped it was of confusion. Longbottom regarded Draco for a long time, far too long to be polite, but he wasn't sure what it meant.
I didn't know it'd be him, Longbottom finally settled on. It could have been my gran, too.
Draco closed his eyes in understanding as he nodded his head. It would seem their family lives weren't all that different from each other.
Would you rather it had been her?
No, it was whispered quietly, so soft that Draco had to lean forward to listen.
I can make a joke of Snape, pass it off as taking the mickey, but I can't laugh away my gran.
When Draco opened his eyes, he could see understanding in Longbottom's eyes, and he hated it. Hated that someone understood that part of him, understood the vulnerability.
Is it weird that I'm relieved?
Longbottom asked, eyes looking past Draco towards the wardrobe where Finnegan was facing a banshee.
Snape's a fear that I can handle. He's rude, abrasive, and mean. It's not unusual to have someone fear him. But family? That sparks attention. Attention I don't want.
No, I get it, Draco whispered, hating the near crack of his voice. All he wanted was a normal fear. Anything. A commotion drew their attention to Lupin standing in front of Potter as a white orb became the boggart's shape. Draco furrowed his brows as the possibility started to enter his mind.
Forward, Malfoy, and finish it off!
Draco stood frozen as a dozen eyes looked towards him. No, he couldn't do it. He was about to take a step back when Longbottom surged forward with a look of determination on his face. The boggart once again took on the form of Snape, and Draco selfishly relaxed. Thankful for Longbottom.
Ridiculous!
Longbottom yelled before Snape disappeared in another show of a lacy dress. A triumphant cry of laughter left Longbottom, and Draco couldn't help but smile slightly. The class clapped as the ending drew near, and the wardrobe was locked away before Lupin gave out points to those who'd either faced the boggart or answered questions correctly. As Draco made his way to the door, a call for his name had him sighing before he sidestepped and allowed the other students to leave first.
Malfoy, Lupin called again, with more authority. If you could stay behind, please.
Draco nodded as the last student left and closed the door.
I would like to know why you allowed Longbottom to finish what I asked you to do.
Draco looked to the ground, uncomfortable as he wished he was anywhere else.
I already know what my fear is, sir, and I didn't want to see it.
Lupin didn't say anything until Draco looked up. There was a small frown marring his features, but he wasn't overly kind.
That doesn't explain anything. I'm sure half the students today knew their fears and faced it anyway.
Yeah, Gryffindors, Draco snarked, forgetting his place. When Lupin arched his brows, Draco sighed. He knew blaming their bravery would get him nowhere.
Petyr was afraid of a mummy, Draco began as he tried to get Lupin to understand. Thomas was afraid of a severed hand. Weasley was afraid of spiders, and Finnegan was afraid of a banshee.
Lupin lifted a hand forward, gesturing for Draco to continue.
Those are normal. Those can be expected.
Draco closed his eyes before switching tactics.
Do you know who my father is?
Lupin stood up straighter, indignation taking root.
Mr. Malfoy, if you're trying to threaten me.
A frustrated huff left Draco's mouth at the accusation. It wasn't as if it was an outlandish question. Not with the way things were handled with Hagrid.
Professor,
Draco interrupted, looking away from angry eyes.
I didn't want the other students to have to meet him too.
A stifling silence filled the room, and Draco hated it.
I have to face that on a daily basis at home. Please don't make me face it here too. Please. Malfoy.
Draco looked up, eyes stinging.
I'll do extra homework. I'll write longer essays. I'll do anything you want. But I can't go up there. I can't. Please don't ask that of me.
The way Lupin's face crumpled had Draco closing his eyes, bitter tears escaping. He didn't want pity, didn't want understanding. He just wanted to be left alone and not have to own up to anything.
Can you handle the theory of the spell? Will the study suffice?
Draco nodded his head as he tried to wipe his eyes without being noticed.
The end of the year exam will require a review of all that we have learned, and this will be mandatory. I can't have you backing out then.
The end of the year was a lot better than Draco expected. He could procrastinate it all, possibly even pretend everything was fine as long as he didn't have to face a boggart any time soon. But I'll allow that to be a one-on-one, all right?
Lupin asked, hand briefly coming up as if to comfort, before it fell.
No other student will see your boggart.
Thank you, Draco whispered, not meeting Lupin's eyes.
For what it's worth, Lupin called as Draco walked to the door. I think you would have gotten rid of the boggart.
The confidence was surprising, and it drew a small smile from Draco. It was nice to be believed in. As Draco left the classroom, an owl's hoot had looking up in time to see the bird drop an envelope on his head. With the hall empty, Draco wasted no time in tearing it open.
Dear cousin, life is lonely. Am I projecting my own emotions, or do I mean that in general?
I don't know. I would like to think that life itself isn't lonely, that there is always someone to ease the burden, but without the personal experience, I am left unsure.
Perhaps it's just me. Maybe I'm the outlier of life, alone and destined to stay that way.
I had a friend once, Severus.
You probably know him.
He always was close to your father, well, as close a brown noser can be. Severus questioned things far easier than I ever did, but his obligation to the Dark Lord was a personal matter and less of a familial obligation. People underestimate him.
I know I did.
When friendship ends, that's a heartbreak no one prepares you for. Sure, you hear mentions of relationships failing as you grow. That's always something that's talked about. But why is that no one mentions the crushing grief of losing someone who knew you better than you knew yourself? Most people at 16 fall in love or discover the very beginning of who they might be when they grow up. At 16, my brother ran away from home. When I turned 16, I became a Death Eater. Strange that I happened to become one before Severus. But it wasn't by much. By the time he entered and realized just what we signed away our lives for, it was too late for the both of us. A kinship between our souls could be what described us. Merlin. I've never known someone like I did with Severus. He was my rock when I thought I had none. But even in a current, rocks move. How do you save someone who doesn't want to be saved? How do you save yourself when the self-awareness begins to fade? Knowing we were wrong couldn't change the outcome. But I fear that will affect him more so than me. I want more for him. I want Severus to leave. I want him to have a different life. But Death Eaters don't get second chances. I think Severus being a questioner first led to quicker epiphanies. By the time I wanted to question our existence, he had already settled into our fate, already given up. That was our discord. That was our unfortunate end. I needed to be able to voice my thoughts, fears, and doubts, but his had already passed. Severus was no longer the support I could go to. I don't blame him. Never could. Do you ever wonder what life would be like if you had made better choices? Or if there was a moment when you wished you had done something else? Because I do. All the time. I wonder if I tried harder whether or not I still have my brother in my life. If I had just said something to Severus, maybe he would have stuck around longer. If I just thought for myself, then maybe I'd stick around to see the end of the war. But I didn't. And now I'm alone. So alone. I just want someone to be there for me. To listen as I speak and not to judge as harshly as I judge myself. Perhaps that's why I write to you. I don't have to worry what you think because I know deep in my heart that I won't live to see either side win. I won't be around to hear you judge me. Even though I hope you don't think negatively. I write to you because I have no one else, cousin. The solace I gain from these letters is the only thing keeping me upright. Everyone needs someone to talk to. Fortunately, all I need is someone to write to. Thank you for this. Even if none of these make it to you, please note that you bring me comfort when I didn't think there was any left in the world. As cathartic as it is to write down my fears, I pray that you have none. I pray that the world is what it should be. And not something that repeats itself in the horrors. As much as I hope my words could potentially teach you something, I pray they are not needed. Either way, I pray for you, cousin. You are in my thoughts. Love, Regulus. Draco stared at the letters, his mind raced. Regulus had been friends with Severus? Was that why his godfather hadn't wanted to talk about Regulus's death? Did Severus know more about Regulus than what had already been said? Draco wasn't sure what to think. Going to Severus with questions would only complicate things, especially considering Severus certainly hadn't let their friendship status be known. Drawing attention to the letters wouldn't end well. Part of Draco wanted to hoard knowledge and never let go, but he knew that one day it would be revealed. It had to. Severus deserved to hear about the latest letter, or any of them, really. Just not any time soon. As Draco looked down and caught sight of the letter, he felt a kinship spread. Alone. Regulus had been alone too. How could the parallels be so similar? Was Draco destined to follow in his cousin's steps? Become a Death Eater at 16 too? Is that what destiny had in store for him? Or was it all just a coincidence? Were the letters warring with destiny and showing that perhaps his fate was in his own hands? Or was fate just a synonym of destiny, and neither mattered in the end? He wished it wasn't so complicated. The more he got to know Regulus, the more he mourned the person he would never meet. But Death Eaters don't get second chances. The word struck a chord inside of Draco. Well, why not? Why couldn't Regulus have been given a shot? Someone so self-aware, and so willing to go to the lengths in personal redemption, should have been given a chance. Hatred for the Dark Lord welled up strongly. How could one madman have caused so much desolation? How could a single human being be the source of such evil and strife? And why? Why had it happened in the first place? Was it power? If the Dark Lord had no power, then his words would hold no meaning. There would be no followers. There would be nothing but the idea of a movement. A movement that would accomplish nothing. What gave the Dark Lord power? What allowed such ideas to take root and spread? Was it society? Was it a lack of empathy in the community? How had the prejudiced mentality scattered in such a detrimental way? If someone as evil as the Dark Lord could use power to change the mindset of some, then surely there was someone who could counter that. There had to be a way to change the minds of those with bigoted opinions.
How do you save someone who doesn't want to be saved?
Draco didn't have an answer to that, and neither did Regulus. Perhaps that was the problem. Simply acknowledging the bigotry of the world wasn't enough if those individuals didn't want to change. Knowledge, he supposed. If the younger generations were taught well, and shown the proper way of treating others, then that would spread. That would be mainstream beliefs. That was the movement the Wizarding World needed. Draco wasn't sure how to achieve that or how to achieve the first step in moving it forward.
But it was a beginning.
He placed the letter in his bag as he thought over Regulus's emphasis on not going on alone. He wasn't entirely sure he could do that. Going alone was all he had known. Without Dobby, Draco truly felt alone. Friend. Such a complex concept. Being there for someone was as scary as allowing them in. He wasn't sure he could do it. Who would even want to be his friend? With the previous lesson in mind, Draco smiled slightly as he left the hall as quickly as he could. Draco ran down the stairs as he hoped the rest of the glass wouldn't have gone too far.
Longbottom!
Draco yelled loudly as the majority of those in the class were making their way into the great hall for lunch. His yell drew the attention of those in the corridor, most being Gryffindors, but Draco paid them no mind. When they were a few feet apart, he lowered his voice.
Thank you for what you did back there.
Longbottom smiled.
Don't worry about it. It was nothing.
No. Draco reached out to stop Longbottom from leaving. The action caused a few Gryffindors to narrow their eyes.
It wasn't nothing. It meant a lot to me. If I was someone else, I might even hug you over.
Longbottom's grin grew, and that was the only warning Draco had before he was suddenly hugged tightly. Draco's face must have reflected the same shock of those around him.
I still haven't forgiven you for our first year,
Longbottom whispered in his ear, arms still around Draco.
But I'm willing to listen to you grovel.
A startled laugh left Draco before he patted Longbottom on the back.
You are something else, Longbottom. Sappiest Gryffindor I've ever encountered.
Longbottom stepped back, face happier than Draco could remember seeing in a long while.
I was supposed to be an Hufflepuff,
Longbottom whispered, as if it were a secret.
I hate to break it to you, but that surprises no one.
Longbottom laughed lightly, but also freely.
I might take that as a compliment.
You should, Draco supplied, smiling himself. You really should.
You know, Longbottom again, a mischievous glint to his eyes. I'm in the market for a Slytherin friend.
Draco looked down, face heating up slightly at the audience. He wasn't used to friends. Wasn't used to anyone wanting to be his friend.
What's the pay like?
Draco asked, a decision already made. Longbottom waved away the question with a wave of his hand.
It's terrible, but the benefits outweigh that.
Oh, yeah? Draco asked, as he stepped closer to Longbottom and gestured for them to keep walking.
What kinds of benefits?
Hugs. Laws of them. All the time.
Draco hesitated once inside, as more students stared at them. He looked at the Gryffindor table, unsure if he could sit there. Before he could suggest they eat in the kitchens, Longbottom made a decision for him by walking to an empty side of the Slytherin table.
Just hugs? Doesn't sound like a benefit to me.
Well, no one asked you.
Draco laughed, and he wondered how he could have missed Longbottom's personality before now.
There are benefits to having a Gryffindor friend, Longbottom continued. We're loyal.
You're also reckless, brash, wild and incorrigible, Draco supplied as he looked at the Gryffindor table and locked eyes with Potter. When nothing was said, Draco looked away from Potter and noticed an amused smile on Longbottom's face.
That explains a lot.
Draco furrowed his brows, wondering what Longbottom could be talking about. Before he could ask, the subject was changed.
Regardless, you could use some Gryffindor backup.
Backup for what? Draco wasn't sure. But it was nice that it was offered.
I'm a bad influence, Draco warned.
Longbottom shrugged, indifferent expression in place.
People won't get it.
Longbottom scoffed harshly.
I'm not nice.
Longbottom snorted harder than Draco cared to admit.
I might be a bad friend, he finally said, not able to look at Longbottom any more.
We won't know till you try, right?
There's the Hufflepuff in you.
Longbottom shoved him lightly, but regarded him evenly.
Yeah, all right, Draco whispered,
a small smile in place. I just might be in the market for a Gryffindor friend myself. Draco wasn't sure if it was a smart decision. He knew he would get too many questions, and it would even make it back to his father. But he wasn't so sure he could walk a path alone. He wasn't strong like Potter, nor did he have the support system as others. If Draco was destined to only have a handful of friends, then he wanted to make them count. And Longbottom counted. Whispers of Black's breaking were the only thing people gossiped about. But Draco wasn't sure it was worth discussing. Sure, the safety of the students was important, but none of it made sense. Why would Black enter the castle? Who would risk being caught? Draco frowned as he looked up to where Severus sat at the high table. Severus had believed that Black wasn't a murderer, that perhaps he was innocent. At least an implied innocent. If Black was innocent, then entering Hogwarts was a death wish. Surely he would realise that the Dementors were stationed and searching for him. Unless that was the point. Did Black have nothing to risk? Was it truly as the papers said? His fathers had once spoken of Black in amusement, and that alone had Draco suspicious. What was truly going on? Draco left early, stomach not up for much. As he entered the library, he caught sight of Potter poring over many different books. Draco bit his lip, unsure if his presence would be welcome.
I won't bite,
Potter said, a smirk lifting at the corners. Draco rolled his eyes before sitting across from Potter.
Did you know that Black was given a sentence without a trial?
Potter asked, not looking up as he jumped right into a conversation. Draco hummed curiously.
I know that kind of thing happened a lot right after the war.
It's illegal, though.
A few inmates petitioned the court for a retrial, but usually it was the families pushing for it.
Potter looked up, confused and lost. I don't know why I care. He was my godfather. Did you know that?
Draco shook his head, not entirely surprised that Severus hadn't told him that.
They say he's the one who sold my parents to the Dark Lord. When Draco shook his head, brows merging and frown forming, Potter sat up straighter. Why do you look like that? You disagree?
Draco bit his lip before he looked away. I have reason to believe he was innocent.
Why? Potter's tone was hard, but not unkind. Draco shrugged, not ready to admit that the kind of person Regulus wrote about didn't match up with the way Black was portrayed in the papers. Nor was he going to give up Severus as a source. It doesn't fit who he once was. How would you know who he was?
Draco looked into Potter's eyes, hating the way they were filled with distrust.
I don't know who he was, not really. I have a hunch, Potter, and I'm willing to bet on it.
And if the price is too high?
How about you let me worry about that?
Draco repeated Potter's words back as they stared at each other, neither wanting to cave.
I'm not telling you to not be suspicious, Draco reassured.
I'm just telling you to keep an open mind. People might surprise you, that's all. Potter didn't appear appeased, nor did he seem too open to the idea, but he wasn't arguing, and that was something. I thought I was supposed to be the bleeding heart. Oh, you are, Draco contradicted with a smirk. Don't get that twisted. When Potter rolled his eyes, Draco stood up slowly. You like a mystery. Well, people are complex and as mysterious as they get. Figure out Black before you condemn him. That's all I'm saying. Draco walked away, unsure if his belief in Black was solely because of Regulus's love for his older brother. If Regulus was wrong about Black, then Draco wasn't sure he could believe anything else in the letters. Black needed to be innocent. He had to. Draco angrily threw rocks into the Great Lake as the tension built the longer he thought of his father. Threatening Hagrid in court in the name of caring about him was a farce. They both knew it. Interesting that his father could pretend to care in public, but couldn't do a damn thing in private. Where was that love then? Where was the passion when there was no witnesses? An angry noise left him as he threw another rock with far more strength than was required. Ah! Draco sidestepped in time to avoid a rock being thrown at him from the giant squid. Sorry, he called belatedly, realizing he should have been more careful when flinging them. Draco slumped on a stump as he covered his face in his hands. Without anything to relieve the stress, his focus was internal. The root of the problem hadn't been Hagrid's overenthusiastic teaching. It hadn't been his father's warped sense of justice. Nor was it the Hippogriff's fault. The problem had been him. It was his own fault the Hippogriff attacked. No one wanted to hear that, though. No one wanted to listen. Ironic that the children were used as an excuse, but no one really cared what the children think. His father had the Wizengamot and the Board of Governors in the palm of his hands, both believing that action needed to be taken so that the safety of others were maintained. But that wasn't the problem. It never had been. Why did it have to be something else? Why wasn't the simplest answer the right one? Why couldn't they all just see that it had been his own stupidity that was the issue? Why get the public involved at all? Not every problem was social justice. Not every issue needed a spotlight. Most people skip rocks, not throw them. Potter's voice wasn't entirely welcome, but it was at least a distraction. Draco looked up to see Potter leaning against a nearby tree. If Potter had seen him throwing rocks, then that meant he'd seen the squid throwing one back. Lovely. I'm not most people. Potter's eyes travelled over Draco's face. No, you aren't. Draco wasn't sure what to do with that. It didn't sound like a compliment, but it wasn't censure either. What are you doing here? Draco asked as he looked back towards the lake. I already know it was my fault, all right. I don't need you to tell me that. It was your fault. The sound of movement could be heard, but Draco wasn't going to turn around. I was curious to see what you thought of in light of the hearing. I never asked for a bloody hearing, Draco cried in frustration, kicking a rock into the lake. The school notified my father against my wishes. The whole thing is stupid. I don't understand why he cares. Why now of all times? Your father? It makes more sense to say nothing, Draco continued, ignoring Potter's question. Cover it up and no one knows I was an idiot. But to seek justice for a farce. Draw attention to the cruel retribution. To harm those not responsible. What's the point, Potter? Saving face? Attention? It was said as the sound of Potter's voice drew near. Sometimes, people like hurting others. Draco was reminded of Regulus's letters, and the lessons his cousins had learned. But why? Why does there have to be violence to know peace? Why can't there be good in the world? Why do people like my father have to perpetuate their beliefs? Potter settled beside Draco on his knees as he began skipping rocks. I don't know why evil has to exist, Potter began with a whisper. But I think it all stems from power. Because if your father had no power, but still had his beliefs, then he's just a voice with no audience. He's not a threat if there's nothing to back it up with. Draco thought to his father's reinstated position on the boards of governors, thought to the good standing he held with the minister, and even the social status that most regarded him with. Yeah, that was power, all right. A lot of it. If your father wasn't in the position that he is, he would be ignored. His thoughts wouldn't be given a platform, and he wouldn't be half as dangerous. Dangerous? Draco questioned as he turned to look at Potter. Power in the hands of those who would use it on the innocent are dangerous. I'm not suggesting that Hagrid shouldn't have used the tamer animal for 3rd years, but that doesn't mean his teaching should be called into question by the government. It's a school matter, one that should be handled internally. It was my fault, Draco said quietly, eyes on the ground. I was just talking to the hippogriff, not really minding what I was saying, since I talk like that to everyone. When Draco glanced up, he caught a small shake of Potter's head as he smiled. I didn't expect it to get blown out of proportion. I didn't expect for my father to act like he gives a damn. An uncomfortable silence fell around them, and Draco hated that he said that to begin with. Maybe he'd... Don't. Draco growled harsher than intended. Don't tell me that he cares. Don't find a silver lining in this bullshit. Don't preach about what you don't know. Because he doesn't care. He never has, and he never will. Draco stood up, hating that their understanding was crumbling, but he couldn't bring himself to stay while his temper went unchecked. You were right. My father has power, craves it even, and you know what I can't give him? Draco asked, not giving Potter the chance to answer. Power. I can't give him that, but he doesn't know it yet. To him, I am impressionable and easily moulded. You think my use will matter when it's gone? You think I'll be anything but a casualty? I'm the next hippogriff on trial. You have use, we all do, Potter said, hard tone causing Draco to still. You have use, Potter. You always have. You are no doubt destined to be who you are.
I was supposed to be a mindless heir for a cruel man.
And I couldn't even do that without having a complex. Good. Have a complex. Be someone else. Draco closed his eyes as he wished that Potter, Dobby, and even Regulus would cease the belief that he could be something other than what had been laid before him. What if who I am isn't good enough? I'm not you. I don't have a blinding morality propelling me forward. I'm someone who has no idea where to go or who to be. I've got a confused sense of duality and absolutely no power to do anything about it. A mess. That's exactly what he wanted to voice, but couldn't. Draco was a mess, and he wasn't sure how to change that. For once, Potter had nothing to say, and Draco couldn't tell if he was relieved or disappointed. Either way, he left the clearing in the same silence that he entered in with. Draco knew he would pass his defence against the Dark Arts final. That wasn't the issue. His ability to get past the Boggart would be his own personal test. The Redcaps had been a breeze. The Hinkypuffs were nothing. The difference between an Animagus and a werewolf was simple. And beginning defensive spells were memorised. The only thing left to tackle was the Boggart. The sounds of students further back had Draco nervous that they would enter the final area for testing soon. But Lupin had promised the Boggart would be away from prying eyes. A quill lightly scratched against parchment, which let him know that Lupin was somewhere in the corner watching. When Draco stepped closer, the wardrobe opened, and instead of his father that stepped out, it was an older version of himself. The spell to get rid of the Boggart died on his tongue when he caught sight of a familiar mark on the Boggart's arm. No, Draco whispered as his wand lowered. When his Boggart self smirked coolly, Draco understood why so many people disliked him.
That's right, the Boggart mocked. All your self-loathing, self-awareness and self-improvement did nothing. You still wound up a Death Eater.
Draco took a step back as the urge to vomit overcame him.
Such a shame, too. Let down a lot of people, didn't you?
Draco whimpered when a man appeared next to his older self. The Boggart didn't have the likeness quite right, but Draco knew it was supposed to be Regulus. or at least the version that was still on the tapestry. I believed in you, dear cousin, and you let me down.
Regulus, Draco whispered, eyes closing.
No, it was fate. He knew that. I understood that he had to fight back, but it was hard.
What a disappointment you are,
both Regulus and his older self said in unison. Not light enough for the opposition, but not dark enough to matter. You've become so weak, so pathetic. Someone not worthy to be the next Malfoy heir.
No.
Draco shook his head rapidly as he repeated the word over and over. It couldn't be right. He didn't try so hard for it to all not mean anything. It was a lie. It had to be. When a cold laugh reverberated around the room, Draco snapped his eyes up in horror to see his father approach. He couldn't help the shiver that escaped as the boggart version sneered.
You are only my heir in blood, nothing more. I should have had a spare to replace the worthless heap that you are.
Draco raised his wand, eyes stinging as he tried to find the courage to continue. There was a reason he had never been considered for Gryffindor.
But ridiculous!
The boggart wavered, but he didn't disappear.
Deep down, you know you can't change,
his boggart version said maliciously.
You had to have known you would be nothing but this.
A hand gestured up and down before resting on the dark mark.
You can't change the evil already inside of you.
Draco clenched his fist as he stood up straighter.
That's where you're wrong. I don't have to be you. I can be someone else.
The three began to laugh as Draco tried again.
Ridiculous!
A crack could be heard as they disappeared into a burst of glitter. Draco couldn't look towards where Lupin was, didn't want to see his expression. He rushed out of the area as his body shook. Most of the students were already done, but Draco tried to ignore their stares as he searched the room for Longbottom. When Draco walked forward, he could see that Longbottom was watching him, but not with pity, only concern.
Can I have those benefits you were talking about, Neville?
Draco asked as he blinked rapidly. Neville pulled Draco into a hug, and he couldn't stop his shoulders shaking from the comfort.
I get it.
Draco shook his head and bowed closer when strong arms tightened. It was worse than I thought it would be. I could have taken him, you know. But I was there too. A version I don't want to be.
You admitting that something you don't want to be is the answer. Your fears don't have to become you, Draco. Fears are irrational, and relying on them to give you an insight will only lead to those fears winning.
When did you get so wise?
A few minutes ago.
Draco laughed as he wiped his eyes discreetly on Neville's rose before stepping back.
Thank you.
For?
Neville teased as they walked towards a corner of the room that was unoccupied.
Being you, I guess.
Neville smiled softly.
In that case, you're welcome.
They stood in a comfortable silence as the last few students finished their tests. When Lupin dismissed them and locked eyes with Draco, he quickly left before any questions could be asked. Draco wasn't sure if Lupin knew Regulus, but he sure didn't feel like explaining anything. Were the chances of Lupin knowing Regulus Black high? Draco wasn't sure, but he was hoping against it. Draco made his way towards Hagrid's cabin. Normally he would have taken the foresight to avoid arriving when Hagrid intended to be around, but he was limited on time and settled for when Hagrid was occupied with guests. The hippogriff was tethered out front of Hagrid's cottage. Draco bowed, silently praying he wasn't about to be attacked with the back of his neck open for the taking. When Draco peered up, legs locked in the uncomfortable position, it took several minutes for the bow to be returned. If he didn't know any better, he would think the hippogriff was reluctant.
I'm sorry, whispered Draco.
He held up a tentative hand and waited for it to be nudged before he began to pet the animal.
I always knew my mouth would get me in trouble one day. I really did. But that was always a consequence for me, not for other people. My actions will lead to your death, and I'm sorry.
A small noise left the hippogriff's mouth, but Draco wasn't sure what it was meant to signify. He stupidly hoped it was a noise of understanding, but it was most likely a desire for him to keep petting the animal.
I should have watched what I was saying. It's not like I didn't know what hippogriffs are like.
I knew you wouldn't take well to my words, but I just... I was wrong. No excuses can make up for it. Nothing I tell you will make it better. I just wish you weren't being punished for my stupidity. Draco leaned forward as he rested his head against the hippogriffs. It's not fair. You shouldn't have to die. Draco took a step back before he got emotional in Hagrid's pumpkin patch. That would be unforgivable. Noise drew his attention towards the walkway he'd come down. The sight of Dumbledore with the minister had him wincing before he chose to enter the surrounding forest instead. As soon as Draco hid behind a tree, he realized that it was already occupied. Well, this is awkward, Draco whispered as he stared at Granger and Potter. They stared at him for a moment, each glancing back towards the hippogriff. Most likely they had heard some of his conversation. Right, I'm going to pretend I was never here. You are going to pretend I was never here, and we'll all just move on. Draco slowly backed away further into the forest. Malfoy! Potter whisper yelled. Nope, Draco interrupted, hands raised despite them not being able to see them. You saw nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
Draco made sure to throw rocks in the shallow end of the lake where he knew the giant squid didn't sleep. He wasn't sure if it was cathartic, or if he was just angry at the world. Draco had always known that Severus could be cruel, but he didn't have to try so hard to get Lupin fired. Werewolf. It wasn't hard to believe, not with the clues laid out. But why did his status as a werewolf matter? It was bigotry all over again, only it wasn't geared at muggles or muggleborns. The stigma against magical creatures was just as bad, and Draco wasn't sure how to stop it all. Each time he turned around, there was someone else on the stake. Only this time, it wasn't just purebloods being the oppressors. Some half-bloods and muggleborns helped in the ministry to run laws and decrees that ensured that magical creatures stay their minority. Why would those who face oppression harm those who know the same cruelty? Was it a part of society that Draco didn't understand? Or was it a part of a bigger issue that all stemmed back to the original oppressors? Was Severus as prejudiced as his father? Or was it something else? It had been clear to many people that his godfather hadn't been fond of Lupin. But what could Lupin have possibly done to Severus to warrant a loss of a job? Draco wasn't sure who to look up to, who to go to, or who his role models were supposed to be. For a while, that had been Severus. But was that a mistake? Should he have no guide and just learn from Regulus? But that was just as scary. Draco wasn't sure what happened to Regulus, and the letters weren't an absolute truth. There could be problems in them. And it wasn't as if Draco could fact-check any of them. It was either trust Regulus's word, or discount them completely. Why did everything have to be so complicated? I'm going to have to teach you how to skip rocks. Draco started at Potter's voice before he turned around and glared at the amused expression on his face. I know how to skip rocks. Arched brows disagreed with Draco's statement, but he didn't care. I wanted to thank you, Potter said, not coming any closer. Thank me? Draco tilted his head, unsure what Potter was talking about. You are right. People do surprise you. Draco blinked rapidly as his mouth parted. So Black really is innocent. A smile stretched when Potter said nothing to dispute the belief. When Draco looked back at Potter and noticed he was gone, he allowed his smile to grow. If Regulus had been right about Sirius, then what else had he been right about?
You've been listening to Dear Cousin, Love Regulus, written by XX the Dark Lord, XX, and read by Reverie Pye.